of talents, and we took five pallets of bottled water to talent, and we found out that the best way for that to get distributed would be through the Public Works Department. So we actually got escorted into the Public Works area, and that took us through areas of talent that the public is not allowed to be in yet. And all I can say, it was so sobering. I mean, it's staggering, the level of destruction, to drive by house after house, business after business, that was completely reduced to just a pile of white and gray and black ashes. The destruction, it is just, and we've seen it on the video, but to be right there driving through all of it was so heartbreaking. But in the midst of all this heartache and devastation, there we were delivering some water, and there's a difference, right? Or there's a difference that we can make in the midst of all of this. We've got an opportunity to share the love of the Lord. They need clothing, they need food, they need water, but perhaps more important than any of those things, people need hope. They need to know that there's someone who cares, and then they need to know that God is real, and that God cares about them, that he loves them. So it's been remarkable to see this past week the people of God mobilizing throughout our valley, to see churches rising up and coming together and serving as the heart and hands of Jesus. So a couple of things, and so many churches, they've done so many things, but for our Bethel Church family on Tuesday night, we opened up our doors. We had about 20 people that spent the night here. They had no place else to go. They spent the night here. Many of you brought blankets. You brought cots for people. Some people came. You made meals during this last week. We had about 10 that stayed on Wednesday night. And then by the end of the week, most of those people were able to return to their homes. The ones that couldn't, we put up in motels and trying to provide for them. That way, we've had at least 3 Bethel families that we know of that have lost their homes, some of that have lost their businesses. We know many more have been displaced, and they're either staying in a motel or staying with family or staying with friends. And we're doing all that we can as a church family to assist those families, not only through the church office, but we know that many of you've opened up your own homes, you've reached out to people, and it's so cool to see. Yesterday, we received an entire semi-truck of bottled water from Convoy of Hope. Now, I didn't know what a semi-truck of water would look like. It's 27 pallets of water. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And the way you rallied, because we knew that water would be coming, but we thought it was coming next week. I got a call on Friday morning saying, "Pastor Tim, the truck's coming tomorrow." And so by Saturday morning, not only did we need to have a plan to get the water out of the truck, we needed to have a plan to deliver it, and we needed to figure out where it was going to go to. And with the Lord's help, a lot of phone calls, and the way our church family responded, it was absolutely amazing to see. I went from Friday at about noon wondering, where's this water going to be, to Saturday morning hoping that we had enough to get to different places, because the Lord just opened up relationships and conversations with people. We delivered 5 pallets of water to the city of Talent. The mayor of Phoenix asked for 5 pallets of water. We were able to get that to them. And then we delivered to some different churches that have been hosting people, different ministries around town. And it was so exciting to see you as a church family come together. We had 2 other churches that were involved yesterday. We're thankful to them. I'm also thankful the fine folks at Bullet Rental Company let us use a forklift at no charge, and they dropped it off on Friday and left it here for us to use. Dan Reese, who's an electrician in our church, I don't know how much he's driven a forklift, but he figured it out. He jumped in there Friday night, practiced a little bit, and he was ready to go. He did great. Nobody's car got crushed or anything. It was awesome. And it just went so well yesterday. Now, here's the deal. We probably this week are going to get another whole semi of water, because this is going to be an ongoing need. The people in Talent and Phoenix are probably not going to have clean water for quite some time. And so it's been cool to see, you know, different church. You know how in the body of Christ people have different gifts? Various churches, they just seem to have a niche. Like some churches were just ready to set up cots and be a shelter. Some churches were ready with food or clothing. Our niche seemed to be drinking water. And through our relationship, our long-time relationship with Convoy of Hope, you know, we've got this access to all this drinking water. And so that's how the Lord's used us this last week. We've also helped a few families out this last week who don't attend our church. And thank you for your generosity in helping us do all of that. Because it's going to be, for some of these folks, it's going to be a while before they get to go home. And for some of these people, they don't have a home right now. So this isn't going to be a, you know, here this week and gone next week kind of thing. It's going to be an ongoing thing. So we've had a lot of people asking, well, what can I do? And I know in times like this, we all feel a little helpless. We wish we could do more. But let me give you three things just quickly. For sure, we can all do this. We can all pray. Never underestimate the importance and the power of prayer. Amen? So be praying. Be praying for our first responders. Be praying for people. Be praying. We're going to pray at the end of the service. One of the things I'm going to pray for, I'm going to ask God boldly. I'm going to ask for rain. Right? So be praying. The second thing that you can do, of course, is to give financially. And we're setting up an account here at the church called Rogue Valley Disaster Relief. And so you can mark your envelope, your offering envelope, disaster relief, and that's where every penny of that will go. We'll set up online this next week. Right now, if you go online, just click the other tab in the giving column and then put disaster relief in the note, okay? And then those funds will go there because housing people is going to take some time. It's expensive. And then also, my prayer is, you know, these folks at Convoy of Hope, they're sending this water to us free of charge. But my hope is that as a church, we would rise up and we would give back to them more than what they've sent to us. Wouldn't that be cool? And so let's be generous, right? Let's let the Lord move in our hearts. So you can pray, you can give. And then thirdly, you can serve. You can come when we get the word out that we need help taking water places. You can invite people to stay with you in your home. If we need to use the church as a shelter again, we're going to need bedding. We're going to need cots. We're going to need food. We're going to need people to prepare meals. So there's a lot of different ways that you can serve. So stay tuned in to the website, to the Facebook page. And also, if you don't use either one of those things, you can call the office and just, you know, tell us who you are and, like, here's what I can do. And we'll keep a running list of that and communicate with you about ways that you can serve. So pray, give, and serve. Here we go. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So I just want to make a couple of observations about what happens here. And then after that, I'll get into the heart of my message. The first thing that I notice here is Jesus' statement that the harvest is plentiful, that the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. So what he was letting his disciples know at that point was that the things that they were seeing him doing were the things they were supposed to continue to do, right? That as he's preaching the gospel, as he's healing people, as he's ministering to people, Jesus is letting them know, look, I'm not going to be physically here on earth forever, and you're going to take over when I'm gone, okay? And so as followers of Jesus Christ, you know, that's the formula. We pay attention to what Jesus said. We pay attention to what Jesus did, and we do likewise, right? So, the second observation here is notice that Matthew writes that the people were harassed and helpless. They were harassed. Boy, if there's ever two words that describe how people feel in 2020, that might be about right. People feel harassed and helpless. Now, we don't know if anybody else noticed that people were harassed and helpless, but we know at least that Jesus noticed that, right? That Jesus knew that. And then a third observation, notice that Jesus' response is that he preached the kingdom of God and he healed the sick. He preached the kingdom of God and he healed the sick. Those two go together. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we preach the kingdom of God. We preach the gospel to people. People need the gospel, right? But also we minister to people's physical needs. So it's not one or the other, it's both and. We preach the gospel and we minister to people's physical needs. We do both. This is what Jesus did. And then why did Jesus do this? Well, according to Matthew, the reason Jesus did all of this and the reason he came into this world, the reason he died on the cross, it says he had compassion on them. Everybody say the word compassion. Jesus had compassion on the people. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this in the Bible, but love is a big deal to God. Anybody else notice that? Love's a big deal to God. You know, some things that are important to us really aren't that important to God. You know, preachers are funny because I've heard this one many times. You probably have too. I've heard people say, preachers say, if it's important to you, it's important to God. No, that's not true. Because some things that are important to us shouldn't be important to us, right? And while they're important to us, God wants to show us that those things aren't that important, right? So some things, they're important to us, but they're unimportant to God. On the other hand, there are things that are very important to God, but they're not as important as they should be to us. Love is important to God, and love should be important to us. Right? It's a big deal to God. It should be a big deal for everybody who claims to know God. Love is a big deal. So much so that 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, John, who knew Jesus better than anybody, was closer to Jesus than anybody, wrote this: God is love. God is love. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 says, of all the virtues of the Christian life, love is the most important. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Yeah, it's the greatest virtue. It's the hallmark of the Christian life, is love. Now, everybody in this room and those watching online, we would probably all like to think of ourselves as loving people, right? But the truth is, the spiritual reality is that love really doesn't come easy for us, right? We talk about love, we write poems about love, we sing songs about love, but in reality, we have a difficult time sometimes actually loving people. I mean, the Beatles sang All We Need Is Love, and then they broke up. So come on. All right? So, and that's because of our fallenness. Our old nature is filled with all kinds of unloving stuff. And it takes a miracle from God for us to become loving people. We call that miracle the miracle of salvation. So when Jesus Christ comes into our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit now is released in us, and he transforms us and gives us a capacity to love that we never had before. The prophet Ezekiel put it this way. The Lord says, I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Right? So it's kind of, how many of you remember the Grinch movie, The Grinch That Stole Christmas, you know, the picture of the little shrunken heart, and then his, you know, at the end, his heart gets all big and nice. This is what Jesus does in our lives. He takes that old crusty, you know, hardened heart, and he softens it and enlarges it, and he gives us a capacity to love people like we've never had before. But still, there's this thing called spiritual warfare, and it rages within us, and it will do anything it can. The enemy will do anything he can to try to drag us back into our former selves. So as Christians, we've been redeemed by love. We've experienced love. We know what it is to love and be loved. But we also have to battle for those things for which Christ has taken hold of us. And the devil would love nothing more than to rob you of your love and cause your heart to grow cold. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1 says this: keep on loving one another. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So I want to just drill down on that a little bit, and I want to share with you three enemies of love, right, that we need to guard against, and then we're going to talk about three resources of love, okay? Three enemies of love, three resources of love, okay? Enemy number one when it comes to love is anger. Anger. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret in case you didn't know this. Not everybody is easy to love. Have you noticed that? Not everybody is easy to love. But whenever I'm having an experience with someone and I'm kind of like, God, this person's really hard to love, I'm reminded that there are times I'm not so easy to love. I know you have a hard time believing that, but it's true. So I remember, yeah, Tim, you're not easy to love either sometimes, right? Wow, we live in such an angry, divided world. And this anger is fueled by politics and social media. But listen, brothers and sisters, we are not called to be imitators of this world. We're called to be imitators of Christ, right? Some of you, you've allowed anger to build up and smolder in your heart. And the first thing you're going to need to do if you want more of God's love in your life is you're going to need to repent of that anger and ask God's forgiveness and ask God to change your heart. Listen, it's easy to love people that are easy to love, but often it's the people that are difficult to love that need love the most, right? Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read a few verses out of this. This is such powerful stuff. Okay, this is the word of God. This is what we take our cues from, not the world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. And you, as I'm reading this, you're going to notice this sounds very different from what you're ever going to see in the world. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, how many of you say, boy, that just sounds different from the world, right? Different from what we're surrounded by and even different from the way we behave sometimes. So this is why God has given us his word, because his word is our guide. So we keep coming back. We say, God, I want to be in alignment with your word, right? So an enemy of love is anger. A second enemy of love is fatigue. Sometimes we just get weary of loving. We feel like, wow, I've tried with this person. I've tried to love people. They let me down. They fail me. They don't notice the effort I'm making here. Anywhere from that to flat out just feeling rejected by people. And we just get to a place where we feel like we've got nothing left. We just feel our love tank is emptied out, right? Nothing of ourselves left to give. And this is where, church, we really need the Holy Spirit. Because where we have a limited supply of love, God has an unlimited supply of love to give to us, right? So when we allow the power of God's Spirit to work in our lives and to fill us up and flow through us, there's going to be an abundance of love in our hearts. So anger, fatigue, and then thirdly, apathy. It's an enemy of love. The reason we've stopped loving is we just stopped caring somewhere. One of the silver linings, if there can be, to any crisis is that sometimes crisis helps us snap out of the trance of apathy. Our hearts are reawakened and we remember that there are people that need our love. Hallelujah. We remember the compassion of Christ, all right? Three enemies of love. And then let's turn our attention now to some resources of love. How can I have more of God's love in my life? So 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to go with this. In 2 Corinthians 13, we're going to read 11 to 14. Most of what I'm going to share comes out of verse 14, but this other stuff before 14 is really good. So finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another. Be of one mind, live in peace. And the love of God, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So I want to drill down on those three things. Sources of love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So let's start with grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, we are all unworthy sinners who've been rescued and redeemed by the grace of God, right? The minute that we start thinking that we are more deserving of God's love than someone else is, the moment we start thinking that way, we're in spiritual trouble. We are. So I want to have you do something, a little exercise with me. I'm going to read a few phrases, and I want you to repeat them after me, all right? Now, some of you are like, I don't know if I'm going to agree with everything you say, all right? I'll just promise you it's all good, okay? It's all good. This has to do with the grace and love of God, all right? So repeat after me. I am saved by grace and grace alone. I don't deserve God's love. But I gladly receive God's love. The least that I can do is to extend to others the grace that has been given to me. Wow, someone say amen to that. Yeah, it's true. So Jesus is the ultimate example for everything in life, but especially when it comes to love and grace. Jesus never bowed down to anyone, but he loved everyone, right? He even loved, think about this, that big, hairy, smelly soldier that was crucifying him and prayed for their forgiveness even as they're driving the nails through his hands and feet. That is love. That is grace. So if you've been thinking to yourself, well, man, I could never love that person in a million years because of what they represent. Or I could never love that person because of what they've done to me. That's when, church, we choose, as followers of Jesus Christ, to follow the Lord's example. Amen? Yeah. And we say, what's impossible with me is not impossible for God. God can give me a supernatural love. It's his grace. Okay? Number two on this list is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the love of God. So it's not the love of Tim, it's the love of God. So we're not limited to our own capacity to love. Love is not something I have to work up, right? It's not something I have to make up. It's not something I have to stir within me. Love is a gift from God that's poured out in our lives. So when we're lacking in love, we press into God even more to receive his love in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, not up on the screen, so listen carefully. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. Everybody say increase. Everybody say overflow. Yeah. Lord, make that your prayer. Lord, let your love increase in my heart. In other words, you don't have a limited supply. Let your love increase so much that it's overflowing. There's more than enough. Yeah. Let the love of God increase and overflow in your heart. So it's the love of God. And then thirdly, it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit acts as God's delivery system. He takes from God what I need and he brings it into my life. Okay? So imagine this huge reservoir, and there's a sign on it that says the love of God. And this reservoir is so, I mean, it's bigger than the ocean. For as far as your eyes can see, it's the love of God. It's so deep and so wide, it's immeasurable, right? It's abundant, it's overflowing, it's unbelievable. This great reservoir of the love of God, right? And then not far from that, there's another sign. It says the love of Tim. And it's pathetic. I mean, it's like a little mud puddle, right? This is Tim's reservoir of love, and it's so sad. But here's the good news. There's a huge pipeline that goes from the reservoir of God to the mud puddle of Tim. Huge reservoir, right? And this reservoir has a big valve. And someone comes over to the valve and they just start, let me get this right, lefty, loosey, right? They just start opening up the valve, just opening up, and the love of God just starts to flow from the presence of God, from God's reservoir of love, and it just starts to flow, and there's this big outpouring, and all of a sudden, this little mud puddle of Tim's love, it starts to fill up with the love of God. Hallelujah. This is what God does. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He takes that which is God's, and he brings it to bear in our lives, right? And it's such an awesome thing. Now, I mentioned someone who opened up the valve over here. Okay? Who is that? I know, I'm kind of tricking. I'll tell you who it is. It's me and you. If we want to have the love of God in our lives, it's available. But we got some decisions that we got to make in order to open it up. Right? So it talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal power from God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants not for us to use him. The Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with us. And the way you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit is you spend time in the Word of God. And you spend time in prayer, and you spend time in worship, and you sing songs of praise, and you listen to good worship music. And as you do that, the valve of God's love is just going to open up more and more and more, and there's going to be an outpouring of the love of God, the resources of God, into your life. It's a great resource of the love of God. And when that happens, wow, you're going to find yourself serving people you never thought you could serve. You're going to find yourself giving sacrificially in ways you never thought you could give and being generous. You're going to find yourself forgiving people you never thought you'd be able to forgive. You're going to find yourself saying nice things to people that you never thought you'd have the ability to be nice to. Right? And you'll be amazed. You're going to go, "What, did I really just say that? Did I really just do that? I mean, that just sounds too good for me." Right? And it is. It's the love of the Lord. It's the kindness of God. Listen, there's a little spiritual principle I want to just share with you that you're going to be blown away by this. Being mean to people greatly reduces the chances that you're going to lead them to Jesus. Mind-boggling, huh? Yeah. Being mean to people greatly reduces the chances that you're going to lead them to Jesus. So, church, we need the love of the Lord. And that's one of the things that we're going to pray. I made a point of talking about prayer today, and so we're going to close our time together by doing that very thing. Is we're going to spend some time just praying for people, praying for our valley, praying for rain. How many of you just agree with me this morning in prayer for, let's believe God for rain? God does that, amen? Yeah, God can cause rain. And so, church, would you stand with me? Worship team, come on up, will you? We're going to begin right now to just call out to God, to cry out to God. And church, these prayers should not be without passion. These prayers should be passionate prayers. And so I want to just invite you, let's pray. Let's pray with all of our heart right now. Let's cry out to God together. Hallelujah. All lead us, but don't just listen to me. Okay? When a person's leading in prayer, you're not to be an inactive audience. You're to be a participant. That's why we use the word amen. The word amen means so be it. It means you're coming into agreement prayer with that person. Okay? You're not just listening. You're praying too. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. But we all need to lift our hearts and voices to the Lord. Right? So come on, let's pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we come before you today and we acknowledge, God, that our only hope is you. God, you're the one that we need. We are thankful for agencies that help out. We thank you, God, for the Red Cross, and we thank you for all the people that are doing loving things. But the bottom line, God, is we need you. We need you, God. We need your Holy Spirit to be poured out in our valley, God. People need you so desperately. They need to know that you're real. They need to know that they're cared about, that they're loved. They need your people, Lord, to rise up in power and in compassion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, right now we open our hearts up to you individually, personally. And we say, God, please forgive us for our own lack of love. God, bitterness of heart, unforgiveness, resentment, Lord. We pray, God, that those things would be washed away by your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that this great reservoir of your love would be poured out into our pathetic little mud puddles. God, that you will fill us up with your love. Let it abound, let it increase, as your word says. Let it overflow in our hearts and lives, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. God, today we stand before you and we ask for a big miracle. We're asking for rain. We're asking for rain. I don't know what the weather forecast is, but it doesn't matter. Because your God can make it rain no matter what the weatherman says. So we just come before you right now and we ask, God, for rain. And not just a drizzle. We ask for an outpouring, God, of rain in the name of Jesus. We ask for it. Open up the heavens, God. Open up the heavens and pour forth some rain, Lord. Hallelujah. Give people some relief, Lord. God, we pray for those that have lost loved ones. We pray, God, that you would comfort them. Lord, as they're hurting and broken right now, for those who've lost their businesses, they've lost their homes, for those that have been displaced, we lift them up. We pray, God, not only for spiritual comfort, we pray, God, for a path, Lord, where they can have housing and have food and have the clothing that they need, Lord, the medical attention that they need in the name of Jesus. We lift folks up to you, and we pray, God, that we, Lord, would be a conduit, Lord, of that provision in their lives. God, that we would be generous and kind and hospitable, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to pray right now for our first responders. Is there anybody here that's a first responder? Could you just raise your hand? We want to pray with you. I know our drummer, at least, is a first responder. Mike, can I have a couple, two or three men come up and just stand with Mike this morning and pray over him? Let's pray for first responders right now. I can't imagine the things, not only just the physical weariness, but the emotional wear and tear. So let's lift them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our courageous men and women that are out there. They're fighting the fires. They're protecting property, Lord. They're just serving in so many different ways. We lift up all of our first responders to you. We pray, God, that you will give them courage. We pray, oh God, that you would give them rest. We pray that you will give them strength. We pray that you will be with them physically, emotionally, spiritually, in the name of Jesus. We lift them up to you, God. We thank you for them. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now let me ask something else. Is there anybody that's with us this morning that you've either lost your home or you're displaced, you can't go to your home right now, and for the time being anyway, you're homeless? Could you raise your hand? We want to pray over you, okay? You're not able to go to your home, right over here, right over here. Church, would you go stand with these folks and pray with them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reality is, there's a physical reality with this, of finding some place to stay, but there's also just the emotional reality of having your life turned upside down, right? And so let's lift these folks up in prayer. Lord, we just lift up those in our midst even now. God, members of our church family who've lost their homes, who've lost their businesses, who have just temporary shelter right now, we just lift them up in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, for comfort, but we also pray for provision, God, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will bring people into their lives, God, that can be a help. Lord, ultimately, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. And God, we're believing that you're going to meet each and every person's need in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Come on, praise the Lord this morning, church.